Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths that are associated with religion and politics, patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines and how these events will shape our world. Then during our second hour, we will turn to God. We will engage him on his terms through evidence and reason, since his is the lone, reliable, and credible voice. In an incredibly troubled, unreliable, pretentious, disingenuous world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. Your call is welcome anytime over the next 2 hours. I thought it was the epitome of hypocrisy when the United States was complaining about weapon trafficking when the United States is the largest supplier of weapons in the world. I mean, there is no larger weapon trafficker in the world. In fact, if you were to combine all other nations together and compare them to the United States as it relates to providing weapons, they pale in comparison. It was also interesting to hear the benefits of immigration reform being touted by the White House. Yeah, the primary benefit of immigration reform and acknowledging another 20 million people or so are now de facto citizens is that more Democrats will be elected. Hispanics, unfortunately, vote in lockstep with one another. They are, with exception of the state of Texas, I think, about 85% prone to vote for the Democratic candidate because they are they have become a single issue bloc. And that is that they want all of their relatives also to be able to come to the United States and all be able to immigrate in the United States. And they're going to end up destroying the very reason they came here. The other issue is that he said that it will be conducive to the rule of law. Well, yes, if you take millions of people that are currently illegal and you instantly say, well, you were illegal, but we're going to call you today legal. Oh, yeah, then I guess it is conducive to the rule of law because you simply change the law. There was during the break also a statement from a Christian business that you ought to tune to them to find God's match for your life. What do you think about that, Scott?
That sounds kind of dum 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 dum.
Indeed, I received an email from.
That's kind of an understatement. That sounds really dumb.
There you go. I received an email from a long time. Both listener and email compatriot this morning that I'd like to share with you. It was on the topic that we're going to return to now, which is the reaction, primarily the reaction to the George Zimmerman not guilty verdicts relative to Trayvon Martin, because I am really appalled by the reaction of Obama, where he said, you know, a jury has spoken as opposed to the jury has spoken. It's the kind of speech that he does all the time, like, we'll get him. And then he had Holden, who is head of the U.S. Justice Department, saying, yeah, I'm really concerned, too. Boy, he ought not have died. And, you know, we'll look into this for you. And the FBI has already spent a fortune trying to profile George Zimmerman is a racist and couldn't do it. And there is zero hope that that will prevail other than that the U.S. government is obnoxious. This email then spoke to our program yesterday. It brings up some points that I would like to address, and then we'll continue to advance our understanding of what happened so as to hopefully equip more and more people to respond to the dunderheads out there. He says, your commentary was spot on today. I was pleasantly surprised by the verdict. You know, I was a little surprised by the verdict, too. Well, the evidence was overwhelming, and it was obvious that he did not commit second-degree murder. When they threw manslaughter in at the last second without any thought, I was a little concerned about that, and I've seen a lot of bad jury decisions. I'm not all these people who say, I'm a believer in the American justice system. the system, but I, you know, justice was not achieved here. They're the hypocrites. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of the justice system. I think there's a lot of injustice that is caused by the justice system. Way too much evidence is excluded that should be included, and juries and judges very often make the wrong call. So he said, I'm also shocked and disgusted by the modern-day lynch mobs that are being formed against George Zimmerman. Now, while that might seem inappropriate, because, you know, the lynch mobs of old, particularly the KKK, would hunt down a black person and lynch them, and they actually killed an individual. These mobs that are growing in cities to protest stupidly the verdict against what they consider as an affront to their race, they, without looking in the mirror, they aren't going out and killing anyone. But it is still a just comparison, because while the lynch mobs went out and would typically hunt down and kill one individual, we will consider statistics from the U.S. government later in this program that show the propensity of blacks to kill whites. And it is an alarming problem. And so There really is something to be said for when blacks are being deceived and beguiled, encouraged to march in these kinds of mob scenes, shouting all sorts of pejorative statements, that it does ultimately lead to the kind of killing that we are witnessing in the historic and ongoing statistics in America. So that's really not an extrapolation. It goes on to say that the white lynch mobs of old were appalling. We agree. They were absolutely appalling. And I find today's African-American mobs to be equally as appalling. And I do only in the sense that that while the current mobs, that the protesters that we're seeing, aren't individually attacking whites and killing whites as the white lynch mobs were yesteryear, they are instilling the kind of race hatred that is unjustified, and it is leading to vastly more deaths than were associated with the white lynch mobs of old. So I think that the comparison here is valid. They are both wrong. And yet one is being celebrated. This is terrible news. It's terrible that the news media no longer reports the news. They write the news. The false narrative they told everyone was disgusting. You know, the false narrative on George Zimmerman was not just presented by the news, but they found the commentators they wanted to frame the issue. And those who framed the issue simplified the cases of a black young man who was carrying nothing but Skittles, who had every right to be there, that was hunted down by this racist individual and subsequently murdered in cold blood. And that's not a reasonable presentation of what occurred. And so it is disgusting what particularly the African-American community has been fed. The false narrative is indeed disgusting. A violent hoodlum, I'm not sure I would go that far. In fact, I'm sure I would not go that far with Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin did have violent tendencies. His text messages showed that he was looking for a fight. When you have stolen property on your possession and you're kicked out of school for a third time, and that third time you're defacing school property with what the... You know the last word, and you pick a fight with a neighborhood watch volunteer. You know, you are certainly prone to violence, and if you call him a cracker, creepy ass cracker to boot, you know, you're showing some inappropriate racial hatred. And, yes, he got his life snuffed out. And I'm going to say that, and I said this yesterday, he had the greater hand in his own death. He most certainly was not an exemplar of anything worthy. I mean, he had racist tendencies. He had violent tendencies. He had been kicked out of school 3 times. It appears that he had committed theft, stolen earrings and rings in his possession when he was kicked out of school the 3rd time. Was certainly willing to deface school property. Had been associated with drug use multiple times, and the toxicology reports on his body showed drug abuse at the time. So he acted poorly, made a bad decision. It led to his death. Now, is that death a tragedy? Yeah, but not the kind of tragedy that garners the commentary that we get all the way up to the White House. Not to have people marching in the streets. A tragedy is that a 5-year-old gets leukemia. A 7-year-old child gets a brain tumor and dies of it. That a child gets multiple sclerosis. Their body withers away and dies. You know, there are tragedies. I mean, that is, those things are incredibly sad. If a child minding their own business, one of my wife's best friend's child, was driving home from work one night, and a drunk driver ran a red light and killed him. That is a travesty. There was nobody, though, at the White House or any place else calling him a national hero or bemoaning his death. When a person plays a role in their own death by being an aggressor, as the jury found Trayvon Martin, the tragedy aspect of his death is lowered appreciably. He initiated the fight, according to this email to me, and so I should be shedding tears over his death? No, please. As an impartial jury finds Zimmerman not guilty and people disagree with the verdict, there's no justice. That's such a farce. It's such a sham. Yes, you wanted him tried. He should not have been tried. He was tried. The judicial system found him not guilty, which means that Trayvon Martin indeed had the greater hand in his own death. And you say now there's no justice, and you want to try him again on trumped-up charges, and that would be just. This email to me yesterday from a friend says, keep on telling the truth, brother. I wonder, that's why I thoroughly enjoy your program, and I don't ever want to have to justify. You should never have to justify to anyone that you're not a racist. Well, I'm clearly not a racist, and I did take some time yesterday to make that statement, because I've been called it so many times primarily because of Prophet of Doom. But yeah, as I've said, even in Prophet of Doom, the moment someone tries to bring race into the issue of Islam, I will immediately call them on it. It's an inappropriate thing to do. That does not mean that there isn't racism in America. And racism in America is primarily today, and has been for a very long time now, mostly seated on black against white. There is some racism between African Americans and Hispanics, and vice versa. And yes, I am aware that there are some whites that are still racist, but there are very few whites as a percentage that are racist, and there's a very high percentage of blacks that do not like whites, that blame their fate on whites, which is specifically what we're seeing in these protests that are transpiring now, and all of the shrill voices by the African American leaders, is there is a tremendous racism that is corrupting the very soul of the African American community. Geez, the word has been thrown around so much that it hardly has any meaning anymore. Yes, racism actually exists, but I know real racism. This is just BS. Anti-black bigots don't volunteer their time to mentor black children, and they would never date a black woman on prom night. in just a moment, I'm going to share something about Zimmerman, which is the reason that the racism card was not brought up at his trial, is the reason that the FBI said that they could not find anything after their investigation which would suggest that Zimmerman was a racist. And we'll speak to those particular issues. I'm not pro-Zimmerman, this friend of mine writes, but the liberal slander and defamation against him is obscene. That mirrors my position. I don't know the man. There are aspects of the man's character that I don't like very much. And so I am not advocating on his behalf. But I am going to tell you that the villainization of him is, and the slander and the libel against him is absolutely obscene. You know, where do we go from here? You know, what now? The NAACP is calling for an end to stand your ground laws. President is calling for an end of law-abiding citizens having the constitutional right to keep and bear arms, to have guns, so that they can no longer defend themselves. They're talking about creating more hate crime laws that are specifically designed to imprison whites for crimes that are actually conceived typically out of nothingness. So what now? Innocent civilians should not be armed or form neighborhood watch groups to protect their neighborhoods from hoodlums? Innocent people cannot defend themselves against violent thugs? I think it's interesting that you overlooked, or perhaps that you thought it was too trivial to mention, but the beverage and candy that Trayvon Martin was walking home with is used as a drug, a concoction. It's called Purple Drunk, or Lean, as Trayvon Martin called it. This kid was just no good. Black, white, yellow, green, or whatever is irrelevant. Yes, the combination of Skittles and the iced tea taken together creates a drug concoction that is called Lean or Purple Drunk. Also, Craig, I need my latest fix on the updates of Questioning Paul. I will send those. We have Dee on the line, and before I go to the affirmation that Zimmerman was not a racist, I would like Dee's input. She's calling in from Florida, where all of this took place over the last few days. Hi, Dee.
Hey, good morning, Yana. I ran across an article that I thought it was interesting, and it says, for a variety of reasons, elements within the Miami-Dade School District Police Department conspired to keep Martin's criminal history buried.
Yeah.
As a part of its mission, did you by any chance hear about that?
I only tangentially. There appears to have been a deliberate, in fact, not appears, there was absolutely a deliberate act on behalf of the U.S. government and its Department of Justice to keep evidence from the defense. And that's a crime. It's illegal. The woman that stood up there with a big smile after having lost the case, she should be prosecuted for that. They ended up firing the whistleblower that said, hey, this is illegal what we're doing. And so there was absolute proof that the U.S. government was deliberately withholding evidence from the defense team, and it would make sense, and it seems appropriate under those circumstances, that they would also withhold Trayvon Martin's record. But back to Shattering Myths, we're talking about the George Zimmerman case. This call now that is being perpetrated by the left, by the Obama White House, by the Department of Justice, by the Attorney General, who is a scumbag in and of himself, based upon all of the deceptions that have been perpetrated under his command of the U.S. Justice Department, Holden. We have a call to prosecute him again, as if that would be just, under hate crime acts or racial profiling, and therefore violating Trayvon Martin's civil rights. But to do this, of course, you'd have to prove that George Zimmerman was a racist and that his racism is what led to Trayvon Martin's death. I found a quick paragraph or two from the from a woman who has written for a newspaper in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This one, she says, this is a real head-scratcher calling Zimmerman a racist if you know a tiny bit about George Zimmerman. His high school prom date was black. Zimmerman's business partner is black. Zimmerman's wife's best friend is black. The kids that Zimmerman tutors after school for free are black. The neighborhood Zimmerman invited to stay at his house as long as she needed after being rattled by a break-in in her house, well, she's black too. The homeless man that Zimmerman fought for justice for, so the man that Zimmerman went to the mats to help in the Justice Department, well, he was black, too. 51% of the neighborhood where Zimmerman rents a house are black. Obviously, if you have spouted this nonsense, shame on you. Nobody who actually knows Zimmerman labeled him a racist, but you can spot that sort of thing from your couch in Kalamazoo, is what she's writing, because it's true. In fact, there were congressmen yesterday out saying that, you know, we know that he profiled him because he was black. No, we don't. When he was called to 911, it was the black clothing that he was wearing that he referenced, not his black skin color. George Zimmerman racially profiled Trayvon Martin. This also from the person who wrote from the Chattanoogan. He said this is one that is particularly troubling because it represents a complete misunderstanding of both racial profiling and the events of February 2012. Racial profiling would make sense if we knew that Zimmerman had seen three or four white kids walking at night between houses in the dark clothing in his neighborhood in the rain and had completely left them alone. Then when he observed an African-American boy walking at night between the houses in the rain, he immediately called the police because Trayvon was black. But that's not what occurred. So there is no profiling here. Now, come to think of it, however, given the history of crime in this neighborhood, Zimmerman would actually have been justified in racial profiling. This is the thing that just makes no sense. You know, Muslims commit 99% of all terrorist acts, and yet we don't profile the religion. African Americans are far more prone to robbery, to rape, and to murder than are Caucasians. And in this particular neighborhood, in recent history, all of the perpetrators had been black. And so to say you ought not consider evidence goes right back to what we're doing in schools. We're making, exercising good judgment, being discerning a crime. You're told not to consider evidence, not to exercise good judgment, not to think, but to dispose of all evidence that leads to a conclusion that isn't popular with those who advance political correctness. In the 12 months prior to the shooting, the retreat at Twin Lakes was subject to 8 burglaries, to 9 thefts, and 1 shooting, as well as numerous attempted break-ins. What is the description of the perpetrators of these crimes who were either witnessed committing them or caught later? Young black males. All of them. I suppose Zimmerman should have been on the lookout for midget gingers. This lady writes. There's another aspect that she shares, and I think this is also interesting. She said the ridiculously oversimplifying of the acts. I heard so many people on the radio yesterday talk about this. This boy, you know, was chased down by Zimmerman after the 9/11 operator told him not to pursue, that the police were on their way, and all he was doing was carrying Skittles. And you know, it's unless you are just completely ignorant of the U.S. Judicial system, while police have the authority to tell a person you can do this or can't do that in a temporary situation, the individual has rights later and the police can be convicted of wrongfully executing their duty. But if a police officer was there and the police officer says, I want you to stay here, then, you know, you're obliged to stay there. But a 911 operator, she's an operator. She's designed to connect, you know, phone messages, to relay messages. She's not a sworn officer that can tell somebody you can and can't do something. And the Skittles were irrelevant other than the concoction that works as a drug. This is a statement that so many people have made. All I know is that a grown man shot and killed a kid carrying Skittles. Well, nice one. Well, I appreciate that you like your reality very simple and very easy to digest. This kind of ad absurdum twists the and distorts the events of that night into something far from their actual reality. You probably think in World War II that it was a simple misunderstanding about Poland. Sure. Now, if it makes you feel better, I'm willing to concede that, in general, grown men should not shoot kids carrying Skittles or any other type of candy. Now, will you concede that there was a little bit more nuance to this particular incident, a few contributing factors? You don't have to concede anything, but are you going doing the intellectual equivalent of putting your fingers in your ears and shouting, "A kid got shot, la, 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 la"? It makes you look incredibly childish and small-minded, and that can be said of every single spokesperson for the African-American community over the last 2 days. It makes them appear like morons. And as I said yesterday, it is apparent, because this case is so clear, that there was no racial profiling, that there was racism was not a factor, and that Trayvon Martin had a hand in his own demise. It was so obvious, that being the case. That does not exonerate George Zimmerman and make him a saint. He's not. But it was so obvious that that was the case, that the very fact that the African-American community set up their community for failure like this so that they could become more important, and so that their community would become enraged and thus unified, listening to them pontificate, is despicable. The NAACP said they were outraged. "We're outraged and heartbroken over the verdict," President Benjamin Zelis said in a statement. "We will pursue civil rights charges with the Department of Justice." Now, that would be just, right? The man was brought to a trial that he should not have been brought to. They did not get a conviction. He should not have been charged. And now you want to double down and to try him again. "We will continue to fight for the removal of Stand Your Ground." Oh, why? What, you don't want people to be able to defend themselves? "In every state, and we will not rest until racial profiling in all of its forms is outlawed." Wow. So, you can't look at the statistics. Well, why don't we outlaw public reporting of crime statistics? Let's do that too. Let's make it illegal. In fact, why don't we just make it illegal for people to know anything that might cause them to make a wise decision? Yeah, then, Mr. Benjamin Zelis, you can stand up and pound your chest and tell them anything you want, and they will have no way to know that you're lying to them, because let's just hide all of the evidence. An African-American man in a white shirt and a gray vest stood outside the courtroom and said, "What kind of a world do we live in where an innocent kid is killed and the killer is found innocent?" The kid was not innocent. And George Zimmerman wasn't found innocent. He was found not guilty. Well, one of the jurors actually spoke yesterday evening, and she said, "You know, we wanted to find Zimmerman guilty of something, but we couldn't, because what he did was not a violation of either of the two charges that were brought against him." "Zimmerman innocent," another person shouted. "Mike guilty, Mike Vick guilty, racism." Boy, if your mind is that troubled, if you're that irrational, that poorly informed, you just ought not open your mouth. You know, my friend of mine used to always tell me it's always better to keep your mouth shut and seem dumb than it is to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Another person wrote, it's something bigger because Trayvon Martin is all of our sons. Well, if he's all of our sons, then we're in real trouble. Then we think it's okay to abuse drugs. We think it's okay to be a thief. We think it's okay to deface public property. We think that it's okay to be intoxicated. We think it's okay to use racial slurs. We think it's okay to pick fights. We think it's okay to be a truant from school. We think those things are okay. I don't think they're okay. He's the son of all people who are African-American and those who are conscious of what it means to be black in America. What? To be black in America? This, by the way, was a Georgetown University associate professor of African-American studies. If that's what you're teaching, it's no wonder that your community is lost. This person is being paid a salary to promote that kind of rubbish. It's a sad day for democracy and for justice. How does this have any influence over democracy, idiot? I mean, this is a professor being paid a salary at an American university, Georgetown. A much harsher statement came around the same time from another professor who studies race at Drexel University in Philadelphia. So another professor, also African-American studies, quote, this verdict was prepared from day one. From the media campaign of demonizing Martin to the seduction, the selection of a non-black jury to the instruction not to refer to race, this was the chronicle of an acquittal foretold. Imagine that. You are so oblivious to the media's criminalization and slander of George Zimmerman, making him the most hated man in America, that you see the opposite in the facts. Amazing. Your host, Yana, another person reacting to the George Zimmerman verdict said this is another tragedy for black families. The verdict sends a clear message about the minimal value placed on the lives of black men and boys everywhere. Well, here are the facts. The FBI murder data in 2010 for one kind of crime, single victim, single offender murder. 2,720 blacks were murdered by a single offender. Single victim, single offender. 2,720 blacks were murdered. Of those, the attacker was white 9% of the time. The attacker was black 2,459 times, or 91% of the time. If you are in the African American community and you think that someone has a is devaluing black lives, you need to look in a mirror. On average, whites are murdered by blacks at a rate 18 times that whites murder blacks. We're not talking about 18% more. We're talking about 18 times more likely. Blacks are 39 times more likely to commit a violent crime against whites than whites are against blacks. This is from the FBI National Crime Victimization Survey and the Justice Department's Uniform Crime Reports. On average, 1 million whites are murdered, robbed, assaulted, or raped by blacks each year. The National Crime Victimization Survey and the Uniform Crime Reports says that blacks are 7 times more likely than even Hispanics to commit murder and 8 times more likely to commit robbery than Hispanics. And it's only been recently that Hispanics have become a subset from Caucasians. We have a very serious problem. And the problem is that African Americans are killing African Americans. And yet the African American community is being deceived into thinking that whites are hunting them down and do not value their lives. That is such a small percentage of the crimes. We're talking 18 time differential. Unbelievable, the difference in all of this. And yet when a young black boy is killed in any state in this country, and it happens 20, 30 times a day, and they're killed by a black perpetrator, do we ever hear their name? Are they ever elevated to heroic national figures that people walk in the streets to promote? Do you ever hear any of their names? No. It is unbelievable that we have done this to ourselves, have convinced ourselves of such myths. The race baiters would have you believe that white on black crime is a very serious problem in our country. That's what they're all screaming today. And yet the opposite is actually true. Now, sociologists and psychologists might give us their opinions of why the crime rate by blacks against whites is so high. They might say it's poverty, oppression by whites, lack of fathers at home. But the bottom line, relating it to today, is that Trayvon Martin's shooting is not something that happens every day. Black on white and black on black crime is something that does happen every day. The United States has changed dramatically during the past 60 years. Opportunities exist for anyone of any race willing to work hard for their dreams. This notion that Whitey spends his time at breakfast making plans for the day about what he can do to keep the black man down don't exist anymore. It's the race hustlers, the Sharptons of the world, who have kept their fellow blacks down. They have kept them down by telling them that it's not their fault. It's not their fault that they are 18 times more likely to commit a crime against whites. It's not their fault that they're racist. It's not their fault that they're not working. It's not their fault. Everything is someone else's fault. It's what Muslims do in their hatred of Jews. It's not Islam's fault that we live in poverty. It's not Islam's fault that we're poorly educated. It's not Islam's fault that there's no opportunity here. It's not Islam's fault that little boys are raped and girls are raped and that the victim of rape is considered the criminal. It's not Islam's fault. No, it's those guys over there. It's the Jews' fault. Well, exactly the same thing is being happening here in America with the African-American community, and its preachers, its troubadours, its politicians are all telling the African-American community lies. You need to take responsibility. You need to look in the mirror. Justice was served. Accept it. Move on with your life.